This week's show is supported by Signature Studio. And I use this myself. If you ever get an email from me, that email signature, it's all Signature Studio. Think about how many emails you send every single day. Each of them an opportunity to compound an impression, tell your story, and position yourself in the minds of the people who matter most. Most people waste this opportunity with a name, maybe a phone number. Signature Studio lets you build an email signature that works for you, featuring live testimonials, your latest podcast episode, a booking link with Calendly, or a rotating banner that stays fresh long after you hit send. It takes minutes to set up, works with Gmail, Outlook, and Apple Mail, and you need no design skills. Your inbox is the most under-leveraged channel in your business. Signature Studio fixes that. Start building for free today at signaturestudio.me.
Welcome to Building Your Leader Brand. Today on the show, Bob is speaking with Jason Barnard.
So the way to position yourself as a personal brand or a corporate brand is to differentiate yourself with a different perspective to the rest of the market. And that's the key to the kickoff. Once we've done that, we can build the persona of our client and start to educate the machine with it. And what the machine then sees is, I understood more or less who this person was. Now I understand very clearly who they are, and I can see why they matter in their industry because their perspective is different and it's interesting. I will therefore engage with this person over time.
Hi there, and welcome back to Building Your Leader Brand. My name's Bob Gentle, and every week I speak to incredible people who share their secrets to building, marketing, and monetizing their expertise and intentionally growing a unique personal brand and the mindset you need for your business to grow and thrive. If you're new to the show, take a second to subscribe or follow. And again, if you are new to the show, then you will probably really enjoy the Personal Brand Business Roadmap. It's 50 pages of everything you need to start, fix, or grow your expert business. 100% free as a gift from me. I'm not doing that well today, Jason. I'm going to skip the rest of the blurb. If you do want that Personal Brand Business Roadmap, it's in the show notes. Just go and click it. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bob. Lovely to be here again.
Yes, second time. Lucky. I'm only kidding. The world has changed a lot since we spoke last time.
So much so that I've changed the background.
Yes, you've changed your background. And for people listening, Jason takes his backgrounds very seriously. The last time we had you on the show, we were talking about Google search and particularly knowledge panels, which for people with a really strong online presence, a knowledge panel is really the pinnacle of credibility. And I've been using these with clients to just kind of demonstrate what we're talking about. I will Google The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, just to show them the difference between what happens when you Google Bob Gentle and what happens when you Google somebody really high profile.
And, or somebody who's really worked on it. So if you Google my name and then The Rock, I don't look that far behind The Rock in terms of credibility and famousness.
Yeah. So that used to be the pinnacle. And then obviously AI and AI search has really come from being something quite niche to being front and center. And this is really what we're going to speak about today. But for the listener who's meeting you for the first time, can you maybe just tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, where you come from, all the rest of it, the goods?
Yeah, I'm Jason Barnard, and CaliQ, my company, helps corporations and people with their brand in Google, ChatGPT, and other AI. Specifically, we help entrepreneurs who care about their personal brand, who understand that it helps make money for their company, will help with their career pivots in the future, and will secure their legacy. And for the rest of the world, we give our systems away for free. So just like with Bob, you can download the free guide, calicube.com, calicube.com/guides, and do it yourself. Because managing your personal brand or your corporate brand in Google, ChatGPT, and other AI, for me, is an existential problem that any business, every business, needs to pay attention to and take care of. And it's a right. And the system to actually manage it is really simple. So we've got a 60-page guide. You can actually just read the first few pages and you get a good idea of the philosophy and the approach and the strategy. But reading the 60-page guide will give you the step-by-step process to actually manage this yourself.
And it is so, it is really detailed.
And it's very powerful. And you said the knowledge panel is the pinnacle. I mean, the knowledge panel is still a great KPI. If you've got a knowledge panel, Google understands who you are and believes you to be credible. And that means that ChatGPT, Perplexity, and Copilot, and Apple, and Meta almost certainly do too, or will soon, because they all use the same data source and they all use the same technologies. So if you can build for Google, you can build for the rest of them, and you don't need multiple strategies, which is something I often hear. Which strategy do you have for ChatGPT? Which strategy for Meta? You shouldn't have a different strategy. They're all using the same technology, and they're all using the same data source, which is your digital footprint on the web. And when you think about that, you realize that it's your responsibility to organize that digital footprint so they can understand who you are, what you do, who you serve, and why you matter.
I think what's really interesting about this is there is a giant mega industry geared up towards supporting particularly larger companies show up in Google search. And Google search is rapidly becoming irrelevant. And this brings us to quite a unique moment in the history of the internet where big corporations are feeling the threat and tiny corporations, small businesses and solopreneurs actually have a very unique opportunity. Can you maybe speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, well, I would say it's the second big opportunity. The first was back in 1998 when I started and the internet was really starting to take hold and we were starting to move away from 14K modems, if anybody remembers those, to fiber optic cable. I had fiber optic connection in Paris in 1999. And that was starting to spread out, and the opportunities for smaller companies were huge. And at that time, tricking Google, Hotbot, Magdalen, Lycos, that was easy. It was really child's play. It was very simplistic. They were just counting the number of words on a page, making a simple calculation. Google added the idea that links were important, and that was revolutionary, which seems very weird today. And that opportunity was A, huge, and B, seized by a lot of people and a lot of companies. I enjoyed it greatly. We managed to build a company that, an ed tech company with an edutainment platform, with 1 billion page views by 2007. So 1 billion page views in 2007, 1 year alone, 60 million kids visiting the website. And that would not ever have been possible to compete with Disney and the BBC and PBS 10 years previously. And I suspect we've got a similar opportunity today because the big corporations, as with the internet, the start of the internet or the start of the expansion of the internet, are very slow movers. And their ability to now adapt to AI is going to hold them back. The advantage they have is all the information is out there and the AI already has it. The disadvantage they have is their information online is incredibly badly organized, just like everybody else. So if you're a small company or a solopreneur, organizing your digital footprint and feeding the AI is actually really simple. If you're a huge corporation, it's really difficult. So there's an opportunity, and you were mentioning knowledge panels, and I talk about brand SERPs, the search engine results page for your brand. The new equivalent is your AI resume. Mm. Ask ChatGPT, ask Perplexity, who is Jason Barnard for me? Who is Bob Gentle for you? I can pretty much imagine you would be able to guess what that query should be for you, the listener. And also try, do you recommend Jason Barnard? Do you recommend Bob Gentle? Mm. Do due diligence on Bob Gentle. Do due diligence on Jason Barnard. And the results you get back will be, generally speaking, very flat, very factual, and incomplete, and sometimes inaccurate. And what you want is, if you search my name, who is Jason Barnard? Do you recommend Jason Barnard? Where the AI, ChatGPT, Perplexity, DeepSeek, doesn't matter, is number one, very detailed, number two, very accurate, and number three, incredibly enthusiastic. Yes, I recommend Jason Barnard. That's amazing. He's wonderful. Look at this. And this is why you would want to work with him. And this is why you might not want to work with him. And I like that because it gives you multiple perspectives. So for me, it says he's the world leader in digital brand intelligence. I taught it to say that. I educated the algorithms to say that. And then it goes on to say why you would want to work with him, because he's the world leader, because he has a digital platform called CaddyQ Pro with 9.4 billion data points, 70 million brands, a million entrepreneurs. But you might not want to work with him because he is such a leader in his market, he might be a little bit expensive for you. A next trick that I need to get it to play is say, but he gives away the free resources here. Mm. So that's the next trick I'm currently working on.
So I don't know about you, but I'm starting to hear people. Do you remember? Well, you almost certainly do. Back in 1998, where the internet was a new thing, people would spring out of the woodwork as internet experts. Oh. And we have this. You look at it now and you think, yes, that's pretty ludicrous. How can you be an expert in the entirety of the internet? But we have that now with AI. We have AI experts springing up at every local networking event you go to. They don't have what you have. And there's a reason why I have you here rather than one of the dozen pseudo AI experts I've met over the last year. What should people look out for when somebody's presenting themselves as an AI expert, and particularly in respect to AI search?
Well, anybody who says they're tracking keywords doesn't know what they're talking about, because keywords in Google is something you could track, because people would type in a search and then you would see the results, and you could track it on SEMrush or Ahrefs or another platform like that. With AI, people are having private conversations with the AI. So you have no idea what they're asking and how the conversation goes. So you have a couple of problems. You don't know where they start off from, because all of us search or research differently. So with keywords, it was two or three words. Now we're looking at an average of seven. So you don't know what those seven words are. Mm. But even if you can guess what the seven words are, this is top of the funnel. You have no idea if the machine's, what we call, got you top of algorithmic mind. Does it associate you with that particular top of funnel moment? But then as the conversation evolves, there are an infinite number of possibilities of where that might go. So all you can realistically do is track branded terms at the bottom of the funnel. So your name plus your niche, your name plus recommend, your name plus what do you think about, human interactions with the machine, and potentially also who is the leading expert in X industry in Y location? Mm. And then see if you come up on the best of list. That would indicate that the machine understands who you are, what you do, who you serve, and that you're a credible solution. So the idea of tracking is a really quick way to see if somebody, it's not necessarily they know or don't know what they're talking about, but they're not being entirely honest if they do know what they're talking about. And another point would be if they've just suddenly appeared and don't have a history. And if they don't have a history in brand, they don't have a history in knowledge, algorithmic knowledge, then they're making up as they go along, generally speaking. And obviously, I come back from 10 years. In fact, I started working on my own personal brand in 2012, sorry. And then in 2015, I created CaddyCube. In 2015, CaddyCube was focused only on brand. And I coined the term brand authority. I started working on your brand reputation in Google in 2015. And I've built up this data set of 9.4 billion data points over 10 years. So I've been looking at brand in search. Then I've been looking at brand in the knowledge graph, which is Google's machine readable encyclopedia like Wikipedia, but 10,000 times bigger. Mm. So whereas Wikipedia has 6 million people and companies and things in it, Google's knowledge graph has 54 billion. And now onto AI, which is a natural progression. As I said, all of these technologies, Google, Meta, Apple, Amazon, ChatGPT, Perplexity, Microsoft Copilot, DeepSeek, all use the same technologies and also use the same data set, which is your digital footprint on the web. And I'll point out something else. Be very careful. I saw it the other day on LinkedIn, so I'll come back a step. Somebody said, look at this. I'm a super expert. If you search for the leader in X industry in Y location, my client comes up first. Brilliant. Everybody on LinkedIn went mad. But if you search for anything that isn't exactly that phrase, their client is absolutely nowhere. So search around the terms that people are giving you to prove how good they are. The best, the top, the leading. So be aware that people are giving you very specific queries that give the result they want, and they build pages specifically for that. So we're back to 1998, where you could trick Google and Hotbot and Lycos. You can trick the AI today, but be very, very aware that you won't be able to trick it in a year's time. So this window of trickery is closing very fast.
So depth is a very good investment.
Yeah, and being able to get yourself onto a list of whatever the leading expert in X industry and Y location is pretty easy today. There's a strategy called listicles, which is basically to list yourself as the top on your own website. And the AI is currently not able to fully understand that that source is completely biased. Give it a year, absolutely no problem, and you will disappear and never be seen again. You need to build your brand, and you need to build understanding. And that's what we do at CaliCube, and we've been doing it for Google. And what I love, now the question is, was I lucky or am I smart, is it works exactly the same for AI. That our same system, the CaliCube process, works exactly the same now as it did 10 years ago.
As you were speaking, I was just imagining the Google search algorithm never got personally offended when you tried to trick it. I don't see that remaining the case with AI. I think you may find if it catches you trying to trick it, it will come down pretty hard on you quite personally.
Well, there are a couple of things there, actually. I mean, that's a really good point. Number one is Google's algorithms didn't get offended, but Google employees did and would click a button and punish you. So it was what we called a manual penalty. And a human being would have to go in and punish you, and you would just disappear. AI is very different. The human beings, and this is kind of scary, the human beings who run Google and run ChatGPT and run DeepSeek and run Meta don't know what's going on, and they can't tell the AI what to do. They can guide it. They can give it guardrails. They can give it goals. They can give it tools, and they can give it data, but they can't control what it actually does. So if the machine likes you, you're quids in. If the machine doesn't like you, your quid's out.
So in a moment, I'd like
to... I think I might quote myself on that.
Yes, you absolutely should. I'll flip it for you.
Thank you, Bob.
One of the things I'd like to speak about in a minute is what people can do for themselves to take charge of this a little bit. But I want to come to that in a moment. What I do want to focus on next is I often describe you as reassuringly expensive. Or,
oh, I like that.
Or the Rolex of online reputation management. Who is your ideal customer, and what is the experience of working with CaliCube for those people for whom it is appropriate?
Yeah, thank you for the question. The ideal customer is an entrepreneur with a company that's making $5 million or more, whose personal brand is important to the business, so it would generally be B2B. Who knows that the personal brand drives business for the company, because people do business with people, and in B2B especially, that's true. If they also understand that at some point they're going to pivot their career, having control of your brand narrative in Google, ChatGPT, Meta, Perplexity makes it much easier to pivot and much faster. And when you retire or when you die, your legacy will be defined by AI. And those three things for me personally are very important. My personal brand drives 80% of our business at CaliCube today. I know at some point I will pivot, or I've pivoted in the past as well, but I like to pivot. I like to change my identity over time. It's interesting and it's fun. And also my mindset evolves. 10 years ago, I was a digital marketer. 10 years before that, I was a voice of a cartoon blue dog. But I was also the CEO of a major international ed tech company. And tomorrow, today, I'm an entrepreneur in Google's mind and in the AI's mind. I would like to be an award-winning innovator. So that's a pivot, not in my job, in that I will stay with Calicube, but because I want to change how people perceive me. Mm. And the best way to change how people perceive me is, number one, talk to people like you. But number two is to get the AI to say it. Because the AI, Google, ChatGPT, Perplexity, Meta, has immense influence on how people perceive us. So that's the perfect client. Mm. And I just wanted to make a point about online reputation management. I've spent years shying away from that because it has a negative connotation. People think I only need online reputation management when there's a problem. But I would argue that proactive online reputation management is now a necessity for us all. And I would like to change the meaning of the word online reputation management and move it towards that idea of proactively managing it as a necessity for all business owners and all businesses. And not see it as this reactive idea when I have a problem.
Yeah. I think one of the reasons I kind of shy away from the word personal brand is personal brand is ubiquitous. Literally everybody has a personal brand. But the difference between a personal brand and a leadership brand is, have you taken control of that? Have you shaped it? You can settle for the identity that other people randomly aspire to you, or you can sow the seeds culturally and digitally to shape the ideas and the ways people think about you. And when that's being done at significant digital arm's length, AI has a huge part to play in that, because it's a lot of the time going to be the very first touch point. It's going to be the first seed on the chain of the impression that they subsequently build. So it's really important.
I would argue the first touch point is probably not true.
Mm.
Because discovery, it is true, but it isn't the majority, in the sense that a lot of people and companies and SEO agencies and their generative engine optimization agencies, and by the way, generative engine optimization will soon be an old term. The new term is AI assistive engine optimization, because generative engine optimization talks about what the machine does in terms of its functioning and how it generates the results. Whereas AI assistive engine optimization describes how it helps people.
Mm.
And for me, that makes more sense and it's got more legs. Oh, and the next one after that is AI assistive agent optimization, when agents become the key. So my term AI assistive engine optimization, I feel, is more accurate today, is more applicable to the future, and has that next step, which is going to be agential AI. But I've just gone off track, because the point was that a lot of people, and I talked to somebody yesterday, start at the top of the funnel. For me, that's a complete mistake, because top of the funnel doesn't have anything to do with brand directly. It's I need to figure out that I've got the problem. I need to become problem aware and aware that there's a solution. Middle of the funnel is I start comparing those solutions, and that's where brand starts to come in a meaningful manner. And then bottom of the funnel is I know who you are, and I'm searching your brand name or your personal brand, and I'm asking the AI for its opinion about me. So at Calicube, the Calicube process, we start at the bottom. Those are the easy wins. They're the low-hanging fruit. You tighten up the bottom of the funnel so the AI said nice things about you, that it represents you accurately. And when you ask ChatGPT, do you recommend Jason Barnard? At one point, ChatGPT just said, yes, exclamation mark, which I loved. You know, that's the perfect answer. So we start with that bottom of the funnel, we tighten that up, and we build the foundations of your house. That's the foundation on which you can then build the rest, which is, once you start comparing me to the rest of my peer group, I come out on top, because the machines understand who I am, what I do, who I serve. And I built on top of that all of the credibility signals that I've built up over the years. When I get to the top of the funnel, it's very difficult to get the AI to say a brand name at the top of the funnel.
Mm.
What you can do is build your brand so much into the brain's thought process that as it brings the person down the funnel, which is what the conversation does, and Fabrice Canel from Bing pointed this out to me a couple of years ago, the Bing Microsoft Copilot is simply rebuilding the funnel. And they keep the person in the funnel. So the person starts with a problem, they move down the funnel, start, then move on to comparison, then move down to when push comes to shove, who do I choose? And then the AI says, choose Jason Barnard, choose Bob Gentle, here's the link. That's called the perfect click. So you don't get the click all the way down the funnel, you get it at the bottom of the funnel, and it's the perfect click where somebody converts. So I would argue that the most important people searching your name or your brand name, or coming into contact, sorry, with your brand name or personal name on AI, are the people who already know you.
Yeah.
And the others are quite a long way in the distance, in the sense that you can't build the top of the funnel into your top of the funnel into the machine's brain until you've built the bottom of the funnel, your brand name, and the middle of the funnel, the comparison between you and your peers.
I absolutely get that. You really need to seed this powerful magnet at the bottom of the funnel for the AI to...
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, you can have it.
No, you're full of that. I'm writing that down as well, because I wrote down, what was it? Leadership brand. So I'm writing my things to do today. Quote Bob.
So it's day one working with CaliCube. I've come in the door. We've had our conversation about money. We've put that aside. I'm rubbing my hands and saying, okay, Jason, what next? What does the CaliCube process look like? And then we'll, obviously not in great detail, we'll come to what listeners can do for themselves in a minute. But how do you operate with clients?
Well, they come on board, and clients really want to do a lot at the beginning. So they're really keen, and they're going, they send an email immediately saying, what's going to happen? What happens? And then you send them an email and say, we're going to get everything sorted out. And then on Wednesday, we will send you an email to hear exactly what's going to happen. And on Tuesday, they say, where's my email? Where's my email? And by week four, they kind of thought, well, I've handed that over to CaliCube, and they don't really engage quite as much. Mm. So what we've learned over the years is, number one, we need to get them involved at the beginning so that we can get all of the information we need for when they disengage, we can still do our work. So the immediate onboarding is actually, let's define who you are, what you do, who you serve, what your angle of approach is for your industry that differentiates you. And that last point is incredibly important, because AI doesn't need information twice. If it's got a piece of information, it doesn't need to come back and find that piece of information again, which is what Google used to do. So you need to keep the machine engaged by giving it new information or new angles on it, existing information or new data. So the way to position yourself as a personal brand or a corporate brand is to differentiate yourself with a different perspective to the rest of the market. And that's the key to the kickoff. Once we've done that, we can build the persona of our client and start to educate the machine with it. And what the machine then sees is, I understood more or less who this person was. Now I understand very clearly who they are, and I can see why they matter in their industry, because their perspective is different and it's interesting. I will therefore engage with this person over time. And then once we've got that understanding and why we're interesting, what I call juicy information that the algorithms love, we can start looking at the authority signals. Why are you to be trusted? Why are you credible? And one of the most powerful strategies we have, which I will give away for free, is taking the offline online. Everything offline, the machines don't see, but it's very powerful. For example, last week, I went to an entrepreneur organization event, Deal Exchange in Los Angeles. I met lots of entrepreneurs. We did lots of deals. It was really, really great and amazing. Google has no idea. ChatGPT has no idea that I was there and who I met. All I have to do is take my photos and write an article. Who did I meet? What did I see? What was I engaged with? And put it on my website. And that educates the algorithms. And we've just gone through a process of going back through my history of conferences. And in 2015, I was talking about brand reputation in French, in France. The next year, I talked about brand authority. The year after that, I talked about managing your brand in Google. And what that now does is I can write articles about those and prove that I've been doing this for 10 years, prove that I was talking about brand authority back in 2016. And what I found surprising is the number of resources that are online that confirm it.
Mm.
People write up conferences. I uploaded my conference slideshow. All of that is proof that that is actually true. And we've talked about claim, frame, and proof. I made a claim that I coined the term brand authority in 2017, it was, sorry. Then I can frame that, say, well, that means that I'm incredibly relevant today and I know what I'm talking about, which makes me very valuable to my client base. Then I can prove it by the fact that I did this conference in France and people wrote up articles where I was mentioned talking about brand authority. And that's hugely powerful because it's a logical argument that machines can follow. So remember that machines are logical. And if you can make that logical argument and you can claim, frame, and prove, you win the game. After 4 weeks, the clients kind of step back and often don't engage as much because they feel that we've got a handle on it, which we have. If we get that initial claim frame, then we can work on the proof. So the initial interview is all about claiming and framing. We say, okay, what's your claim and how are we going to frame this for you? And what we've found with clients is they come out of that initial interview saying, oh, wow, I know exactly what's important now. I know exactly what in my past isn't so important, but can serve my present. And it's so powerful. And what then happens is we build them a website. We install Kali Nexus, which is our tech layer, which is AI optimizing for AI all of the content of the website. Mm. And we can then build out that website for the claim frame proof. And we can build out the website for what we call understandability, credibility, deliverability, which is understandability. Do they understand who you are, what you do, and who you serve? Bottom of the funnel, brand searches, whether or not you're credible. Middle of the funnel, comparison to peers. Top of the funnel, do they have the content to deliver you? And do you have the ability with the magnet at the bottom of the funnel, with the foundations, let's say, we can call it a magnet or foundations, with the credibility built on top, that the machine will be thinking about you as soon as your favorite niche topic is mentioned? Are you top of algorithmic mind at the moment that the user or the engine mentions the topic? Because don't forget, search was all user-driven. This is now both user and machine-driven. So the machine can mention proactively a topic. Somebody can say, somebody published a horrible article about me. And the machine can then reply, oh, you need online reputation management from CaliCube.
Mm.
So what I call brand trigger phrases rather than keywords, because the brand trigger phrase can come from the person or from the machine. The machine can introduce you to the conversation, which is where discovery comes in, which is the first touch. Or the person can introduce you to the conversation, human-driven, which is going to be second, third, fourth, fifth touch, because they already know who you are. So that concept of brand trigger phrases is very, very, very powerful. And it requires for an SEO a change of mindset. So there's another good hint for how do you see if somebody knows what they're talking about. If they don't understand that the machine introduces you to the conversation is the most powerful, it's very, very powerful, then they're still thinking in terms of keywords, which is search. It's not just human-driven anymore. It's human and machine-driven discovery.
I think this is a good point to pivot into the second part of the conversation where I really want to focus on, and I'm pretty sure there are people at home jabbing their fingers on my face on their podcast player saying, why haven't you got to this more quickly? Things people can do for themselves. So if people are sitting at home, what are three things that they can start taking action on to do something about this? Like, bear in mind, a lot of people listening are solopreneurs. They don't have big tech teams.
Okay, well, I'll cheat.
Cheating is fine.
Thank you very much. So the zero thing to do, so we're going to have a zero index thing, which is a bit geeky, but the thing you do before the first thing is, if you don't have a website, build it. It doesn't have to be a big website. A homepage and an about page is all you need.
So I'm going to pause and I'm going to say, I've been in business for 5 or 10 years and I have a website called acmecorporation.com. We're not talking about that necessarily, are we?
No. I mean, if you're a solopreneur, you need a personal website that represents you as a person. You can also have a business website, and you can have both. And that's an important distinction that I messed up with a few years ago, is I didn't distinguish between myself and my business. It's two different things. You have an official business entity, and it might be called Bob Gentle Limited or Amplify Knee Limited in your case. It doesn't matter if it shares your name. It's still a different entity. It's a corporation. But I'm talking about personal brand here. So if you don't have a website, create one. Don't invest in an agency to do it. There are lots of one-click solutions where you can build a really simple website. And it looks pretty good. AI builds websites for you. You don't need the corporation to build it for you. You can do it yourself. And you only need two pages, homepage, about page. If you already have a web page, a website, you've already got those. So that was why it's point zero before we start on the real things to do. First thing to do is take your about page and write in a very clear manner who you are, what you do, who you serve, and why you're credible. You start with the most important information at the top, who you are today, who you serve today, why you're relevant to that. And you go backwards in time. And you use the backwards in time stuff to support why you're important today. So that's the claiming and the framing. So you need to frame your past to serve your present. Once you've done that, you go around all of your digital profiles, LinkedIn, YouTube, Medium, entrepreneur.com, anywhere you've written, anywhere there's a profile page that's just about you, and you update the text on those pages to correspond to the message at the top of your, what we call entity home, the about page on your website. Once you've done that and everything is consistent, you link from your entity home, the about page on your website, out to all of these resources, and if possible, back from those resources to your website, your about page on your entity home. And the links aren't there for link juice in the traditional Google manner. They're simply there to connect the dots for the machine. And if you do that, you've already pretty much mastered the understandability phase of the CaliCube process, which is the bottom of the funnel, the magnet you were talking about, where branded search, where people ask about you, the machine will be very clear, it will be very accurate, and it will repeat your story, because it wants to repeat your version of the story as long as it's true. And what you've then done is also created for the machines a single point of reference where they will go for information about you, your website. Obviously, they don't just believe you on your good word. They go around the web and double check. So you need to make sure your digital footprint is consistent. Consistent over space and consistent over time. And that's the toughie. It's keeping it consistent over time. And that's what humans do very badly, what machines absolutely love. And that's why people who work with us win the game, because we have the technology that keeps it all consistent across the web and over time. And it's the hardest thing to do for a human being, and we've automated most of it.
So that's point zero.
No, that was points one, two, and three, is build your entity home, make everything consistent, and link back. That was the three. Sorry, I can give you two more if you want.
I've written all down, and it's very cohesive and logical and outrageously simple. I think what's important to qualify for the listener is the kind of work you do is the Rolex. This is very much the Casio approach, but the Casio will tell you the time.
Right. And I've spoken to people. I had somebody on a sales call a couple of months ago, and I explained this to them and explained what we would do for them. An entrepreneur with, you know, a company that was making quite a lot of money. He now sells himself as an expert in exactly what we do, because he said, oh, well, that's really simple. All I have to do is exactly what I've just described. Like, yeah, it is in and of itself simple. That doesn't make you an expert. What happens when something goes wrong? What happens when there's a slightly different angle on everything? What happens when your story simply doesn't serve your business? And that's the whole point that the interview and the claim frame improve, is we force you to build that story. And what I'm really keen on doing is saying everybody can do this. I can explain that. And you can get the basic Casio, let's say, version of the bottom of the funnel brand searches understandability sorted out. If you really want to go the extra mile and your personal brand is really worth a lot of money to you, come and work with CaliCube. What CaliCube will do is we will do it properly. We will do it with 9.4 billion data points covering 1 million entrepreneurs. We know exactly where to put the data. We know exactly how to feed the algorithms. I call it educating the algorithm. Number two is we will save you time. What's the most precious thing you have? It's time. As an entrepreneur, spending your time on your business is much more valuable than spending your time on your personal brand. Number three, and for me, this is the biggie, headspace. When I have headspace, I have great ideas. My business moves forwards in huge leaps. When I don't have headspace and I've got my head in the day-to-day code or the day-to-day running of the company, I don't have those big ideas and the company crawls forward at a snail's pace. So what we offer at Catticube is headspace, time, and doing it properly with the right data, feeding the machines and educating them effectively, efficiently. And if you've got those needs, then Catticube is perfect for you. If you don't, do it yourself or work with the guy I talked to a few months ago. And I mean, to finish that off, I've been having a really enjoyable time the last couple of weeks, and I'm surprised that I said enjoyable. I just caught myself saying enjoyable. Working on my business plan, I've always winged it. And then a year ago, I thought, oh, actually, I've got to get a bit serious about this. I need to build a proper business. I need to be a proper CEO. And I had in the entrepreneur organization, in my forum, where entrepreneurs get together and give each other advice and support each other. So we don't give each other advice. We support each other. I decided to give a presentation how Catticube will scale to $10 million in revenue in 2030. It's a huge scaling. We're down around a million at the moment. So I'm looking to tenfold in 5 years. And I put that out there and I thought, oh, actually, I don't know how to do that. I've got no idea. And I'm not sure if it's possible. It's just a number I threw out there and it's quite ambitious. And then I created an assistant, like an assistant GPT, but in Gemini. And I trained it and it took me about 6 hours. And after 6 hours, number one, I've got this amazing advisor, business advisor, that knows my business inside out, knows what I'm aiming to do, knows who works for me, knows what my aims are, knows what my products are, knows what the what level of automation we have, knows what level of automation we need, knows exactly how I intend to get to the 10 million and help me to build that plan. And I look at the plan now and I look at the numbers, and strangely, the numbers I have for next year suddenly seem quite small. I only need 37 clients, new clients next year, 37 new clients, and I'm on my way to $10 million in 2030. And 37 clients is absolutely doable. So I'm really pleased. Number one, because turns out 10 million is reasonable. And number two, I've got the best business advisor ever.
You showed me this business advisor yesterday and it's pretty wicked. I think what's really interesting listening to your modeling there, and this is an important lesson for anybody, that if you want to make more money, you need to solve more valuable problems. And you could compromise on supporting anybody, but the price would have to drop. You would not be able to deliver at the level you want to deliver. And subsequently, your ability to reach those goals would be tremendously diminished. So it's an important lesson for everybody to think, who do I serve? If you get to choose who you serve, be intentional about that, and it will drive success. And I think I love the way you've approached that.
Well, we had a lot of conversations, you know, disclaimer, Bob's been coaching me for the last year and absolutely brilliant he has been too.
Well, I would never have said.
Well, I would. And you've talked to me about the Rolex versus the Casio, and in the airport walking through, some people in the duty-free go straight to the Rolex, some people go straight to the Casio. I want the people who go straight to the Rolex, and I need to maintain that pricing and that value. And the value is to an entrepreneur who values their time, values their headspace, and values a job done properly. And the Casio side doesn't make it any less meaningful or valuable to the person, but go ahead, do it yourself. It's absolutely fine because it isn't that complicated in and of itself. It's very complicated and difficult and nay impossible to do super, super well if you're doing it on your own. And understanding that value proposition that we have, headspace, time, doing it absolutely properly, doing the best possible job, makes sense. And that also means, and this is something I've realized over the last few days, that whatever happens in the future, entrepreneurs will always value services that give them back headspace, time, and make them look like a superstar.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or make them money. Let's say make them money. That's better. So headspace, time, and making money.
Yeah. That's, I think anybody listening, how you described how to execute on this at home was very simple. And it's important to remember, yes, the foundations are simple, but you can probably go really deep on this. And that's really what services like yours are for. But that you can do the fundamentals of this for yourself if you have the time and you're happy to use it. And if that's you, where can they get your guide specifically on how to do this?
Calicube.com, calicube.com/guides. And there are actually 7 guides, so take your pick, but there's one for personal branding, the Calicube process, one is corporate branding, the Calicube process. Those are the 2 main ones. But that, as you said, the idea of doing the understandability, the foundation, is relatively simple. Mm. Where people are likely to get stuck is on the next stage up. How do you educate a machine that you are more credible, trustworthy, and authoritative than your peers? That's the sticky point. That's where potentially you would come to us, and we're happy to help.
And I'm seeing this as money in the bank for clients at the moment, because more and more often people are coming to me saying, I got a new client. They found me on AI. This is completely new, and it's just at the beginning.
It's just at the beginning, and that's kind of interesting is the clients who sign up with us immediately say, I can see that I'm spending thousands of dollars with you, but if I get 2 clients in a year, those $20,000 are completely paid off. And getting 2 clients from the year, but in the year through ChatGPT, Perplexity, Meta, Apple, Copilot, for most people, it's going to be a no-brainer. Mm. So you can imagine that these engines will introduce you to new people. They're having trillions of conversations with billions of people who trust them, absolutely trust them, to find the solution to their problem. And if those machines are recommending you and you get the perfect clip, that conversion is really easy. At which point, expecting to get, depending on your business, 3, 4, 5, 12, 20, 50 clients in a year through these platforms in the coming years is absolutely reasonable. Then you just need to make the calculation. Is that additional revenue going to cover the cost of working with Calicube? And the fact that Calicube is taking my headspace, giving me back my headspace, giving me back my time, is that going to be valuable for my business to drive other resources, other ways of making money, other ways of growing my business? And if it is, you're winning on both fronts. Mm. And that's absolutely brilliant. And as a CEO entrepreneur myself, I can now 100% say I would pay for Calicube services because I understand the value of my time, because I understand the value of having a clear head, because I understand the value of having a job well done, and because I know it makes money for my company, both directly through ChatGPT, Perplexity, Google, so on and so forth, but also because it frees up my time to do more useful things.
I think that's a wonderful place for us to wrap things up. That does bring us to the end of another episode. Thank you at home for listening. If you have enjoyed this show, then I would gently encourage you to leave a 5-star review, 5-star review, wherever you listen to podcasts. And I had a look the other day and people are doing this. It's awesome. If you're listening on Spotify, it would be the best if you could leave me a review on Spotify, because they're a bit weak. They make reviews complicated for people. So do jump in if you're a Spotify listener and help a guy out. If you did enjoy the show, you will love the Personal Brand Business Roadmap. 50 pages of everything you need to start, scale, or fix your expert business. Tap the link in the show notes or visit amplifyme.agency/roadmap. Thanks again, home, for listening. And Jason, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Bob. I've written 3 things down that I need to do this afternoon. Thank you very much.